This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Trump administration sent more than 200 immigrants to El Salvador over the weekend, even as a federal judge issued an order to bar the deportations temporarily. There was a hearing over it in federal court today. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
Lawyers for the Trump administration would not provide a federal judge any information about flights that deported hundreds of Venezuelans under national security grounds after the judge had temporarily blocked the flights. The ACLU's legal alert represents some of the Venezuelans.
If the government has this power, the president has this power, any group of people could all of a sudden be designated enemy aliens. The government's position is the courts could not review that. They could be in a minute's notice on a plane and put in a Salvadoran prison.
The judge has ordered the Trump administration to disclose by noon tomorrow details of the deportation flights. New efforts by President Trump to end the war between Ukraine and Russia involves a call tomorrow with Russia's President Putin. CBS's Charlie Daggett has more.
He told reporters a lot of work has been done over the weekend regarding Ukraine. In his words, we want to see if we can bring that war to an end. This comes after talks in Saudi Arabia last week with a proposal on the table that would see a 30-day ceasefire. Part of those negotiations center over Russia's territorial gains, which include power plants.
Dozens of people have been killed in severe weather that plowed through several southern and midwestern states over the weekend. Now they're picking up the pieces. Brevard, North Carolina Fire Chief Chase Owen says in his city,
they saw a single-wide trailer that had, for lack of a better term, been cut in half with a tree. And the survivors from the house indicated that there were two children that were still trapped inside the house.
The two children died. More than 130 probationary employees fired from the nation's top cyber defense agency last month will be reinstated. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
The employees of CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, were all hired or promoted within the past 3 years. They won't immediately return to office, but instead will be placed on paid administrative leave. Maryland U.S. District Judge James Bredar on Thursday demanded the Trump administration reinstate the employees it initially terminated.
President Trump, who dissolved the Kennedy Center's board of directors and named himself chairman last month, has attended his first meeting. He says efforts are underway to renovate and shake up the Kennedy Center honors.
I got tired, very tired, very tired, very boring, very radical left. Unless you were a radical left, it just seemed that nobody was chosen. There are a lot of people out there that can get the honors.
A judge declines to force FEMA to release funds to upgrade the U.S. emergency alert system. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
The Bucks bow to the Thunder.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Thunder 121-105. Doc Rivers says about the only guy to play with any effort last night was Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I thought Giannis really came with the right intentions. And I thought there's games, guys, that you have in the year that one team has understands the bigness of the game and the other team doesn't. And you can feel it, you can see it.
The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. College basketball, Marquette headed to the NCAA tournament for the fourth year in a row. They'll play New Mexico Friday night. The Badgers got into the big dance. They'll take on Montana on Thursday after losing in the finals of the Big Ten tournament to Michigan yesterday, 59-53.
This one stings, but as I told the team, I couldn't ask for any more in terms of what they've given us and how they played today, other than we didn't make shots.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his three children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died, and as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his three now middle-aged children out in the cold, or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 30. Breezy on your Tuesday with mostly cloudy skies, a high of 52. Rain and breezy for Tuesday night, lows in the mid-30s. Rain and snow for Wednesday. Snow could be heavy on Wednesday with a high around 39.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by Mini Timaraju, the CEO of Reproductive Freedom for All. We talk about the importance of the Supreme Court race that's heating up. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, Dega, you are right. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, you know, I love their dark roast. And it's really dark. And did you know that, like, the darker the roast, or I should say the lighter the roast, the stronger the coffee? Did you know that?
Is it the lighter? I would have not thought that.
Isn't that weird? But I like the taste of dark coffee. And and I'm old now, Haley, so I only do about like a quarter of a cup, and then I'm wired.
Yeah, I enjoy that coffee too. Unfortunately, I got to add all those sweeteners and stuff.
Well, and I always thought you were sweet enough, but you got to do what you got to. Yes, you got to do what you got to do. Hey, what a heck of a weekend too! And I just came from the Capitol, Haley, and a lot going on at the Minnesota Capitol, and along with tomorrow, there's going to be in Wisconsin the State of the Tribes, and that's always very cool. And those are streamed, and it's good, you know. But all the tribes are saying the same thing: they're worried about what's happening nationally, and they want to remind everyone of Article 6 that we're sovereign nations, and that they've promised Native communities all over Turtle Island certain things, and they haven't given what they've promised, and now they want to take away more. So everyone's on red alert, but everyone's also talking about, we've gone through this before, Haley.
Yeah, resilient experts for sure. And as I think Robert Lilligren touched on this last week, but, you know, this is kind of an example or an opportunity for us to lead as Native people, leading in a good way and in the correct way. And you mentioned you were at the Minnesota State Capitol today, and they were celebrating Sovereignty Day at the Capitol.
Thank you. Because I had to look it up, I forgot, and I was there. So I'm glad
you know, a lot going on, like you said. You know, it's hard to remember, but sovereignty isn't just a concept for us. You know, sovereignty isn't just a one day thing where we recognize it as Native people. It's the foundation of all of our Native nations, you know, our right to govern, our right to be our own political entity within a nation itself, and a right to protect our lands and preserve our cultures, too. So I think I heard a speech someone in the Capitol today, and they were talking about how us as even non-Native people in Minnesota, we're all treaty people. We all have obligations to learn the treaties, respect the treaties, enforce the treaties, make sure that we're, you know, following those. And I think Mary Kunish said this on the show last week, but every representative or every senator, you know, covers a district in the state, and you may have an indigenous person or people living in a certain county, you know, that doesn't include a reservation or tribal land. So you're still representing Native Americans as a whole, even though you don't, you know, represent a county or something that has a reservation on it.
Yeah, really good words there. Yeah, I got to see State Representative Heather Keeler. She was there working as always. And then also I got to talk to State Senator Mary Kunish there. But a lot of the tribal leaders here in Minnesota that were there. And I'm going to try and check this out. But the chairman from Upper Sioux, and one of the things that's interesting about the Upper Sioux, you know, there's 11 tribes here in Minnesota. And one of the things that are interesting about the Upper Sioux is they do not, they're not involved with the same things that all the other 10 tribes are. And it was really interesting, his speech. I got to grab that from YouTube and take a look at that again, because he was pretty rock solid in what he had to say. And it was all about sovereignty. And some of these things, whether it's cannabis or casinos, are chip away at our sovereignty too. And that's some really good points. Also, just wanted to give a shout out to our Irish friends out there, and our allies and our natives that are part Irish, and all those other things. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. And so I just wanted to...
You're not wearing your green. I wore green today.
Oh my God.
I wanted to second that. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And shout out all of our, you know, mixed relatives too. I got to shout out my grandpa, my mom's dad was Irish, and he served in the Air Force and had a big Irish last name. So I'm very thankful for that part of my culture as well.
Well, and then I was brought up in St. Paul, and all my friends were Irish Catholics, and so I got to give those guys a shout out too. And, we got Dr. Stately on today, which is always exciting, and what he has to say. And, again, really appreciate him and you and all the people that really, work hard for Native Roots Radio, because it's so funny. It's like, Shannon Gieschick, who's ahead of, you know, the 11 tribes, she's like the facilitator of them with,
the council.
NIAC or yeah. And she was introducing me to other people, and people knew who I was. And it all has to do with this show. It's just amazing wherever we go.
Yeah, those community connections, they really do matter. And I want to talk about, we'll talk a little bit more about St. Patrick's Day, I think, later on in the show.
Cool.
And relating that, I know the Choctaw Nation had some history with them and the potato famine and stuff. We can talk about some of that stuff. You mentioned seeing Representative Heather Keeler this weekend. I know I saw Heather at the Iquito Festival. Did you make it over to the 3-day tattoo festival in St. Paul?
Yes, I did. I was there Saturday. I missed you, but I saw the great tattoo that you got, and also saw the tattoo artist that was going to do it. I was a little concerned because this person had really thick glasses, and I went, well, last time I saw you, you didn't have any glasses, but it looks like a really beautiful wolf that you have on there. And
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I want to shout out Shannon Joyce, tattoo artist with Iktomi Tattoo in Minneapolis, for doing my tattoo. There were so many talented tattoo artists out there at the Iquito Festival, which is a Lakota Dakota word. And a lot of different tattoo vendors. I saw one girl, I'm totally blanking on her name. She traveled, she's a native tattoo artist and came out here from California. And they were doing certain tattoo contests at the end of each day. And she totally swept the floor with those awards. I think Saturday it was. She had a lot of awards.
Wow, that's crazy. I got to ask you too, because I know you have these kind of tattoos, but the not the original way, but the old fashioned way of doing tattoos. I saw a couple of artists out there. What's that called again?
Yeah, so like traditional stick and poke tattooing. Yeah. The one needle. Sometimes you can like attach it to like a wooden handle thing and tap it. I know some people do it like that, or just individual poking with your fingers with the needle. But I have some stick and pokes done, and it was by Leech Lake native Annie Humphrey.
Yeah.
She does very great work as well.
Does Annie do it freehand? Because this person that I was watching, this lady was doing freehand, and I was like going, wow.
Yeah, I think it totally depends. I think for one design, she did use a little stencil, but you know, that's still really, really talented.
Yeah,
like definitely. Different types of artworks, and it's like a trade, you know, you're an artist, but you're good at like a specific thing.
Yeah. Pacific Ocean. I mean, specific. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so we missed each other again, but there was a awesome powwow at the Indian Center too.
Yeah, on Saturday, the Leech Lake Twin Cities office.
Yeah, I had FOMO when I saw those pictures.
It looked rocking for sure.
Hey, up next, we got Dr. Stately. Hopefully, you know, I'm going to text him, make sure he's not taking a little midday nap like I do before the show. You know, we get up there.
You know, those years. Elders.
Yeah, elder nap. Well, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we're really glad you are, and we're going to be right back. After this short break, Haley,
stay with us.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Everyone knows I love Rudy Luther Toyota, but do you know who else loves Toyotas? Consumer Reports. They're out with their best of 2025 auto issue, and once again, it reads Toyota, Toyota, Toyota. Of the new 2025 models, Consumer Reports recommends the Prius, Corolla, Corolla Hybrid, the Camry, the Sienna, the Corolla Cross Hybrid, the RAV4, the RAV4 Hybrid, the Highlander, and the Highlander Hybrid. In almost every class, you'll find a Toyota. Find one for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Have you considered a career in the museum field? The Minnesota Historical Society is now accepting applications for its Native American Museum Fellowship. The 10-week summer program is a mix of workshops, seminars, and hands-on internships at the Minnesota Historical Society. It is open to undergraduate students, recent graduates, and community scholars with an interest in museums and heritage studies. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with our friend Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and our friend, and I've missed you. It's good to see you. I haven't seen you in community for whatever reason, whether I'm not running around or you're not, but I've missed you a few times. It's really good to see you.
Thank you. Bonjour, everyone. Good to see you as well.
So, are you in a foreign state now?
No, I was not in a foreign state. Well, I was in Washington, which I guess some people might consider a foreign state. It's so close to Russia, you know.
Closer than I am right now.
But no, I was just I was there for a week-long meeting doing some things. So, we had a convening for a grant that we have through NIH. The grant that supports our research center, our new research center, was there for that. And then I did some site visiting. I went to visit a tribal clinic up in Lummi Nation, which is right at the tip top of Washington next to, hop, skip, and a jump over the border to British Columbia in Vancouver, BC. Amazing clinic. I shouldn't have gone because as I was walking around, I was thinking, of all the things I should have thought to put in my clinic, that we're going to be having a groundbreaking here very soon on our new building. So, but it was a great visit. Amazing Native guy from Lummi Nation, who's the chief medical officer. We had some really great conversations about the work we do. And then I went to Seattle Indian Health Board, visit with them, and Urban Indian Health Institute. Downloaded some knowledge from them. They're awesome people. They're doing some really great work. So,
Cool. Did we hear something in the background there? It sounds like Tom and Jerry cartoons or something. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm in a loud caribou, and I asked them if they could turn on the music. and they said, no, they don't know how to. It's kind of remarkable, actually. I was like, well, when you leave, do you shut it off or do you let it play on that long? She goes, we're not supposed to touch it.
Oh, geez. Hey, so like I always always want to honor my wife, and she always says, I always ask Dr. Stately what he wants to talk about. So I'm going to lead off with that, Dr. Stately. What do you got cooking? What are your feelings? We've seen the shock and awe the first 6-7 weeks, and now we all have to pay attention and fight back.
You know, it's like quite remarkable. So actually, one thing I'm really happy about is, last week I got, on Monday morning, I got a text message from one of my colleagues and friends that that the HHS director had, and presumably she was a victim of DOGE's efforts to get rid of everybody that's under probationary status. So Dr. Karina Walters, who is actually a former colleague of mine from the University of Washington Indigenous Wellness Research Institute, and we're old colleagues and old friends, she was her position at NIH in the Office of Tribal Health Research. So it's called THRO, T-H-R-O, Tribal Health Research Office. Under NIH, she was slated to be terminated from her position, which is shocking to me because, I don't know what their thought process was around like DEI stuff or, all these kinds of things. A couple of days before that, I had gotten this text message from a friend of mine, which was the article in the Washington Post, I think, the 200 words that Trump and Musk were going to be looking at for to basically cancel any contracts and grants. And I'm looking at this long list of, 200 and some words, and I'm like, the majority of them, probably about 90% of them, applied to NAC and all the work we do. Like Native American was on the list, American Indians was on the list, tribal, health equity, all of the things, all on the list of things that you can't say anymore in your grant applications or on your websites and stuff like that. But I think one of the things that was really great was that myself and a colleague, really it was a colleague of mine, Katie Johnson, good star at the University of Minnesota, good friend, good colleague, we're on a project together. She said, do you think we should start a petition? I said, absolutely, we should start a petition. So we started an online petition at change.org, and we got disseminated across as many different networks as we possibly could. And in days, we had over 100 and some people responding to that issue. And by Thursday morning or Friday morning, we had heard that she had been reinstated. Thursday morning, I think, actually. And the reason that it was important to fight for that, and I went on NPR, the station we never talk about, it was by invitation, I should be clear. I didn't advocate for it. Something they asked me to speak. But I went on NPR and talked about why is it important to have somebody of that caliber leading that office at the office of NIH. So the tribal health research director, she sits between the health, the director of NIH and also all of the different institutions across NIH, which is about, I think there's 8 or 9 of them. And she ensures that tribal health research that's happening in any one of those institutions is happening in a thoughtful, intentional, and culturally responsive way, and is aligning with the Indigenous research principles that have been established both here in the United States and also in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so her role is critically important. we have a long history of having people research us and harmful practices and practice and different ways, using our biological material for other things other than what they were intended to do. You remember that was a big, huge issue down in New Mexico a few years ago. I think, or actually, New Mexico. And I think one of the things that we don't think about is like, and they needed some education at that office, and the HHS director needed some education around the fact that we are not a racial category; we're a political status.
Right.
And there's responsibilities that the federal government have to Native people in exchange for land that was either ceded or unceded territories, right? Mm-hmm. So that those are things that are, so it's just kind of like, it's frustrating that we have to do those kinds of things, but I was really happy that we were able to get my colleague successfully reinstalled in her position, because it's a critically important position to have, protecting the integrity of research and making sure it's done responsibly in our communities is of the utmost importance. So that was a major win. I was really excited about that.
We got to take those, because I think, you know, definitely our show is called I'm Awake, and we have to stay awake, and they're counting on us being passive about this. And I think that's, and it's hard physically and mentally to not be passive about this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important that we are at a place where we have to realize, like, every single person who is of voting age needs to be sort of in the conversations. And even if you're not in voting age, if you're like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and you are 17 and you're about to become voter eligible in the next 3 to 4 years, like, you have to be in these conversations. You have to understand what's going on. Like, he's doing... Him and his administration are doing everything that they possibly can to strip away basic human rights. And specifically within tribal communities, he's already implemented quite damaging policies already. Right. Mm-hmm. We don't feel them now because they haven't been completely and fully enacted, but we're gonna feel them in 6 to 12 months.
Exactly.
And people should be waking up. I think that you see these polls all over the United States and different media outlets are talking about, his President Trump 6 weeks, 8 weeks into office. He's got the lowest approval ratings he's had in both terms. Mm-hmm. And he also, 18% to 20% of the population is not happy with him, or less. Right. Only 20% I think he's doing a good job. The rest of them are really unhappy. Mm-hmm. He promised him groceries are going to be less expensive. The cost of living is going to be less expensive.
Yeah.
He promised all these things, and he has not worked on any of those things. In fact, things have gone up considerably and significantly in the last eight weeks. So people should be paying attention to what he does and not what he says, because what he says is a bunch of BS, and what he does is, he's a snake oil salesman.
Right.
That would go through our tribal communities and sell all kinds of different stuff to us, and that he's the same thing that was you were dealing with them, 200-300 years ago. It hasn't changed.
Exactly. Well, he wants to crap the economy so that he can go into martial law and all those things, and we just have to stay awake and make sure that that doesn't happen. And so having somebody like you on and talking about real issues where you have pushed back and successfully.
I was at this convening this week, and one of my colleagues in the convening said there was a somebody that asked her a question, and it was Linnaeus Baker. She's from Turtle Mountain. She works at Seattle and Health Board and Urban Indian Health Institute now. And they asked her a question, and she said, "How are you getting through this period?" And she said, she did remark, she said, "I know that a lot of people are really freaking out." She goes, "But here at Seattle Indian Health Board and here at UN Urban Indian Health Institute, we're good. We're feeling quite calm." And I think one of the things that was really important was to recognize, like, the way I said it to.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief. A judge orders the Trump administration to disclose by noon tomorrow details of deportation flights to El Salvador. The ACLU is challenging it. Attorney Lee Galert.
We had serious concerns going into the day that the government violated a federal court order. Today did nothing to dispel it.
A 30-day ceasefire in the war between Russia and Ukraine depends on Moscow accepting a U.S. proposal. President Trump saying,
"What's happening in Ukraine is not good, but we're going to see if we can work a peace agreement, a ceasefire and peace, and I think we'll be able to do it. I'm speaking to President Putin tomorrow morning."
Weekend storms in the South and Midwest are blamed for at least 42 deaths, including two children in Brevard, North Carolina, where a tree fell on a home. Fire Chief Chase Owen says help is being offered to help firefighters cope.
Obviously, nobody wants to deal with children in this manner, but unfortunately, from time to time, it happens, and we want to do the best we can for our people.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks bow to the Thunder.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Thunder 121-105. Doc Rivers says about the only guy to play with any effort last night was Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I thought Giannis really came with the right intentions. And I thought there's games, guys, that you have in the year that one team has understands the bigness of the game and the other team doesn't. And you can feel it, you can see it.
The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. College basketball, Marquette headed to the NCAA tournament for the fourth year in a row. They'll play New Mexico Friday night. The Badgers got into the big dance. They'll take on Montana on Thursday after losing in the finals of the Big Ten tournament to Michigan yesterday, 59-53.
This one stings, but as I told the team, I couldn't ask for any more in terms of what they've given us and how they played today, other than we didn't make shots.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite some well-reviewed films, it was a pretty lackluster weekend at the box office. The weekend proved to be the lowest grossing theater totals of the year so far, with prognosticators surprised that a spring break weekend at the box office came in even lower than Super Bowl weekend by about $1 million. Novocaine led the way with a little more than $8 million at the gate. The film stars Jack Quaid as a man who does not feel pain while trying to rescue his kidnapped girlfriend. Last week's champ, Mickey 17, finished in second place with $7.5 million and $33 million for the two-week total. Steven Soderbergh's new spy thriller, Black Bag, finished with $7.5 million but on about 1,100 less screens than Mickey 17. Rounding out the top five are Captain America, Brave New World, which pulled in over $5 million, and The Day the Earth Blew Up, the first Looney Tunes movie ever made for a theatrical release, with a disappointing just over $3 million. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 30. Breezy on your Tuesday with mostly cloudy skies, a high of 52. Rain and breezy for Tuesday night, lows in the mid-30s. Rain and snow for Wednesday. Snow could be heavy on Wednesday with a high around 39.
It's 51 at our studios.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the Northwoods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, turns out Republicans aren't the only ones who don't want to hear from their constituents. Run away, run away. Join us.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha! Wicha!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Director, Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic. And Dr. Stately, here in my notes, it seemed NAC is partnering with Minnesota Indian Women's Resource with some things to host an empowering mom support group. And this is bi-weekly on Fridays. That's magic.
Yeah, it's a new thing we're doing with MIWC in partnership with them. It really is part of expanding our capacity to be able to support Native women who have children or who are pregnant and parenting. We have a whole host of things that we're doing around maternal and child health. We have an expanded maternal and child health program in the clinic this year that we've been launching. We've got funded through a couple of different federal grants. And that includes a bunch of things that we already have been doing, which we've been able to expand into that population. But we also launched the First Gifts program. We launched it in partnership with Children's Hospital, which it kind of went a little bit on the side, for a while during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then we have one of our board members works at Children's Hospital, and she reached out and said, "Hey, is this something that you guys think you guys can take on?" And then we said, "We can take it on as long as it's a partnership between us and a few other people, Children's Hospital, and also." We've been doing that program now for about a year. This coming April, I want to say April 16th. Is it April 16th that our baby shower is? I think you have the flyer. Kaylee has the flyer probably.
It is.
But we're
12th.
Having a baby shower. We have an annual baby shower every single year. And at that baby shower, we give out moccasins, baby moccasins that were made for all of the women who have given birth between last April and this April. So They'll come to the baby shower. They get a pair of moccasins. They get a whole bunch of other things. We got all kinds of things that we give pregnant and parenting mothers to support them. And that work is supported through a bunch of other things that we do. NAC is part of the Birthing Justice Collaborative, that involves NAC, Division of Indian Work, and also MIWC and Minnow Busy Wing Clinic. And we're in the process of doing a number of big, huge initiatives. One of the things that we're working on right now, collaboratively with them all, is the planning for an American Indian Birthing Center. And that process is moving along quite nicely. We've gotten some new staff from the community that are going to help us with the next phase of the planning process. Mm-hmm. And we were able to do that because we were able to secure a $368,000 award from the state senate last year, or the state legislature rather, to fund the planning for the American Indian Birthing Center. Wow. We're hoping that in the next 2 years we are able to secure additional resources to identify and embark, on the actual creation of the American Indian Birthing Center. And mm-hmm. one of the things that would be significantly amazing about that, if we can get it off the ground, and we will, we'll find a way to get it off the ground, but it would be the first indigenous or Native American birthing center in the United States ever.
Wow.
None exists currently right now in the United States.
Wow.
And we want to do that because we know that maternal and child health rates and death and mortality rates in the Twin Cities in the county of Hennepin and also mm-hmm. across the entire state of Minnesota, quite frankly, are some of the worst health outcomes than any other population. And so we know that giving women, Native women, American Indian women, tribal women, Indigenous women, the opportunity to have an alternative method or an alternative or an additional support that's embedded in our traditional practices, birthing practices and our healing ways, will mm-hmm. support them in that practice, in that process.
That's amazing.
It's filling a very large crack in the healthcare system.
Yeah.
That's really critical to our children and to our families and to our community. So pretty excited about that work.
Really excited. Dr. Stately, too, the Native American Community Clinic is hosting another community baby shower on Saturday, April 12th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Little Earth Gym in Minneapolis. That's 2501 yeah. Cedar Avenue. And Haley
said gotta that. Come. Real it's, quick. A really fun, oh. It's a really fun event.
I got to get my daughter to come with her little twins.
Do it. Yes. She'll get a pair of baby moccasins for each one of them.
Right on. And any for a choco?
And we usually, every single year, we make a little like special swaggy thing, you know, for the babies, a little onesie, which is pretty cool. And the new one, the ones this year, will have our new logo on it. So you saw the flyer earlier. That's our brand new logo that we just rolled out in February on our 22nd birthday.
That's awesome. I can't wait for a big old t-shirt and hoodie with that logo on. Oh, wow.
Yeah. We'll have to raise more funding but for that. But, you know. But it is pretty cool. So I think the last thing I want to just tell people about is like we're close to closing our capital campaign, are coming close to closing, and we will be hosting a ground blessing ceremony primarily just for staff and our board here in a couple in the next few days. But we'll also be hosting breaking and celebration ceremony for the new building in April. And that will be, invitations will be sent out to all of the people that invested in the clinic and the funding and helping us pass bills and all those kinds of things that got the funding goals for our new building. And we're really excited about that. It's building a lot of excitement and momentum. So.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. This has been a thing that you've dreamt of, and it's happening and groundbreaking, and that makes it real. And, you know, it's great here at Native Roots Radio that we've been supporting this. Hopefully we can get a little brick with our name on somewhere. Oh, wow.
We're going to sell bricks for like, you know, $100 each or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I'll get one for Haley, too.
Yeah, for you, we'll probably give you a really good deal, like 2 for $300 or something like that.
Yes. You got change for a 20? Oh,
no. Dude. I mean, it is quite amazing to see it all. Like today I met with all the designers. We're going over, you know, a lot of the designing, you know, all the stuff that's the fun stuff, not the actual building itself, but the colors of the floor and the colors of the walls and all the artwork that's going to be on it. And you know, I'm really excited because we're working with some really great people in the community around the art and the design. You know, our architect on record, the lead architect is Sam Albertson from Post Circle Indigenous Planning. An amazing group of people who have helped us bring this vision for this new clinic and this new healing space to fruition. And you know, Nat, the building will be 2 floors of clinic and 4 floors of housing above to provide supportive and affordable housing for unsheltered relatives that are living in the community that need support. They'll be able to get their healthcare right there in that building. We are creating a unique model of healthcare and housing that is not seen anywhere else in the country. I think we're the only FQHC that's actually done a clinic with a housing component embedded in the actual same building. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I know we've been talking about this for a long time, and it's just so beautiful to see this come to fruition. And our community not only needs Native American Community Clinic, but uses it. And it's really exciting to see this happen. And, you know, big power to you and to all the people that helped you out with this, and your board and all the people.
I'm just a figurehead at the top of the thing, trying to like bark loud and get a lot of money for it. But, you know, I could not do what I do without having the most amazing staff. I tell everybody that I think I have the most amazing staff on the planet. You know, they're just amazing people, very dedicated. They have good hearts. Do they make mistakes? Of course, everybody makes mistakes, you know, but there isn't a human being on the planet that isn't perfect. Right. And so, but they, you know, they have good hearts and they give everything that they have to the work they do. And, you know, every single day, you know, I'm grateful to be in the position I'm in, not for any of the accolades, but I'm grateful that I get to do something meaningful and important to that. It has an actual impact on my community, the place that I was born and raised. And, you know, I tell people, this is my love letter to the community, my love letter to the people who raised me into the man I am. I owe this to them, right?
Right on.
They propped me up when I was down, and I'm going to do everything I can to benefit them.
Absolutely. Well, I know Haley and I are wondering the important question about, you know, groundbreaking is if that inflatable colon will be there.
Yeah, the walking colon.
No, sorry.
Oh.
Sorry. I'll send it to your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, even better.
Yeah. I think Haley's got a bigger backyard.
I think we're gonna try. So one of the things that a lot of people don't know, so I'll mention this in case some local people are listening. We're going to be building our new building in the parking lot, in front of our parking lot, right on Franklin Avenue, on the American Cultural Corridor. And I think one of the things I would say is that, you know, it's likely that, you know, that big, huge open house we have every single year in our parking lot, likely not to happen this summer or next summer because we'd be building our brand new building. So trying to figure out, like, you know, where we can have our open house. We're probably going to partner with Minneapolis Recreation Center. Probably be a little bit more like a health fair. So never know, the rolling pulling could show up over there. So just keep your eyes
closed. Yeah. We can get selfies again, Haley.
There you go.
Yeah. Need a new one, a new.
I think I snapped a picture of you like rubbing one of those nodules on it.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, God. Going. Delete that one.
Yeah. Reminded me of going again because I had some of those babies that were non-cancerous and they wiped them out right away. And it's interesting when you are under and you're half under. And I was telling stories and everything and watching this. And it's amazing. Everyone go out and get their colon checked for real.
Yeah. I mean, I would tell you that one of the most important things that we can do as Indigenous people is to go to our primary care doctors, whether that's NAC, Community Health Board, wherever your primary care doctor is, and go and get those health screenings and those things that you need to do to make sure that you are on top of things like colon cancer, breast cancers. You know, the cancers are one of the things that impact us greatly. We end up finding out we have cancer when we're so far along that we almost die faster than any other population. The other thing I'm going to encourage people to do is like get your kids vaccinated for measles and all these other things. Oh, right? You're seeing all across the country these big, huge measles outbreaks, and when vaccinations for measles and things like that fall below the 95 or 90th percentile, that something like measles is highly, highly contagious. It'll take people out in the community very rapidly. We've already had 5 or 6 deaths across the United States of young people who have died from measles, which is completely, completely preventable.
Exactly. Dr. Staley, thank you so, so much for coming on. You're a rock star and great, great things happening in Minneapolis, and we really appreciate you and you coming on every week.
Oh,
Miigwech,
I appreciate it. Take care.
Right.
Be well.
Oh, hey, we'll be right back, Haley.
Yeah, this is Native Roots Radio. Stay with us.
Oh.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Your heart beats for generations. take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
How? Good one. Hey, Haley, you know, it's kind of fun. I started another LLC, you know, I need more to do, right? but it's called Native Wazua Supplies. And I won't get into that. But Wazua means fun times. And it's like in Ho-Chunk, and we should like do a word of the day or a word of the week and try and use it all the time during the show. Unless super, super serious, because I don't want to, like when Dr. Staley was talking, I don't want to say Wazua.
Or like Dallas Gold too. So he's like, Hoka Hicha Wicha. Like,
yeah.
He's always making me laugh, his little bumpers.
They do.
We could do Ho-Chunk word. I was thinking about the wolves with that little intro read with the wolf population. Do you know the Ho-Chunk word for wolf?
No.
Shunk junk.
Wow.
Yeah. That's wolf.
You know what? That's awesome. And then maybe we can use that during this week's show sometime or once. But you know what I really like is, you know, your native name has eagle in it. And I love the way eagle is pronounced.
Yeah. So in eagle, in Ho-Chunk, we say Chashep.
Yeah.
And it's spelled C-A-A, I think, or maybe C-A-S-C-E-P. But yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and say your name again.
Okay.
Introduce yourself.
Okay.
You do that so well.
I haven't done it in a while, so I might mess up, but I'll say
well, this is live, but it'll just go away after it's done.
Okay. Hinanch Hikaragiwi Ho-Chunk Raja Chasha Pewungaway Ning Kingaide. And they said, hello, I greet you all. The Ho-Chunk name they call me is Little Eagle Princess.
Nice. And I always just say the quick one is like Ahu Ho-Chunk Raja Wakunjahade Hingadena. Says I'm Ho-Chunk and I'm Distant Thunder. We can do this all day.
Learning the language is always something I want to, you know, do more of. And
we got to try and start hitting that Wednesday group.
I know they do language here in St. Paul. We're really, really grateful that they do that. Since we're talking Ho-Chunk, I want to shout out the Ho-Chunk Founders Day powwow is coming up on March 29th, which is a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that'll be at the La Crosse Center in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Admission is free for the Ho-Chunk Founders Day powwow. Grand entry times are noon and 7 p.m. that Saturday.
Awesome. Hey, and the Founders Day is March 19th.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that more on Wednesday, but amazing that our relatives thought so far in advance, and I believe it's 1964 that they started the Winnebago Tribe of Wisconsin Incorporated, and of course changed the name back in the 90s to Ho-Chungala, which, you know, Ho-Chunk is people that say sacred voice, and
Or the sacred voice or the big voice.
Right. I always like saying sacred, but you're right.
I like to say both. Sacred, like, big voice.
I like to say sacred around other natives, you know. It's like, we're very sacred. Well, how about you?
I love us Ho-Chunks. I'm excited to hopefully see our Ho-Chunk sister, Arvina Martin. I know she was talking about making the drive out there to La Crosse, so maybe we can see her.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'd love to go down there. It's only a couple-hour drive from the Twin Cities, so.
Yeah, just past Winona a bit there and then traveling across the St. Croix River.
Did you know that Winona means first daughter? And I'm not sure if it's Ojibwe or Dakota. It must be Ojibwe, right?
I'm not sure which one, but yeah, it does mean that. It does. Yeah.
So I also, my high school teacher, and this is way off subject, Haley, sorry. I'm not following the script here. This is way off subject, but my high school art teacher was Winona Ryder's uncle.
Oh, really?
She was born in Winona, Minnesota, and that's how she got the name Winona.
That's right. Yeah. I only know that because I think senior year of high school, I applied for Winona University and then did a little tour down there. A little too small for me. So
yeah,
I'll go for I was.
That's right. You're big time. You're either up at Duluth or here in the Twin Cities, right?
Yeah, I was a UMD Bulldog my freshman year. Yep. I love Duluth. Any chance to go up to see Lake Superior, Gichigami is
good. Yeah. Time. Yeah, there's always stuff going on up there too. So that's a good call too. That's a short trip here from the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Or a short trip to everywhere, I think.
Yeah, it's cool being in the Twin Cities and just a little hop and a skip away. And I want to mention too, since the weather's getting warmer and I don't know, we might get some more snow coming this Wednesday. Who knows? It's Minnesota in March, so.
Well, when I was a softball player, you know, really into it, the league would start in May, and I remember it snowing in May, so
it's definitely
going to snow again.
Yeah, well, if you can get out there before the snow comes again, I was taking a walk, I think it was yesterday, and just so much litter along our trailways, our walkways, our walking paths, and even bike paths. I think it was even along the train tracks, just so much garbage. And I remember it's usually every springtime, but we do some non-native or we do native nonprofit organizations that help clean up certain areas in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So if you're able to get out there and get a garbage bag, definitely I would recommend wearing gloves if you're picking up any glass or sharps, metals, and stuff like that. Learned the hard way last year picking some of that stuff up. But yeah, if you can, it's a good way to get outside, be in nature, take care of the environment, our waterways, and get some exercise. Get your steps in. Make it a fun thing. Bring your friends.
Really good call. And I know this year, because last year was such a crazy time for the Mississippi River being high for so long. Yep. Now it's going to be super low, Haley. But I know the same thing. There's stuff floating. River gets high. People that have campfires that leave their beer cans and stuff, all of a sudden the river's high and it's floating in the river. I know Wendy always, you'll get to see this year. Wendy always has like a fishing net and is picking up trash as we go down the river.
Yeah, that's a good thing too. Walk along those shorelines, even our lakes, our rivers. Even with the water down, you can see a lot of that trash that, you know, was maybe floating on the shoreline under the water that's now just sitting, you know, on the land.
And
it needs to be picked up.
And if you find an Indian arrowhead, give it to me. First dibs, you know.
Right. Well, I want to, since it's still St. Patrick's Day, we got a couple minutes left here on the show.
Go for it.
Yeah, I wanted to shout out the kind of, like, the relationship between the Irish and us natives kind of go back all the way to the Great Famine. And this was an article by Native News Online. It was written by Neely Bardwell, who is a descendant of the Little Traverse Bay Band of Odawa Indians. Sorry if I said that incorrectly. But she talked about the relationship goes back to like 1845 through 1852. And the Irish people were experiencing a potato famine. Yep. And during that time, a disease poisoned the Irish's potato crops, which caused mass starvation and death within their population. And the Irish population decreased by like 20 to 25%. And because of this, the Choctaw people, Native Americans here, decided to do what they could to assist the Irish. In 1847, they sent $170, which is close to $5,000 in today's dollars, across the Atlantic Ocean through a group of Quakers. The money was used to help feed the starving people in Ireland, even though the Choctaw people had been forced off of their land through the Trail of Tears. They still did what they could help, and the Irish were eternally grateful and still express their gratitude in many ways today. They helped a lot of tribes here in the United States during the COVID-19 pandemic. And I know in 2017, there's a sculpture in Middleton, Ireland that was created. It's called Kindred Spirits. I think I have a picture. I could put it up, but
it's so cool. Oh, that's a really cool picture in the sunset or sun. It must be sunset.
Yeah, but yeah, really pretty.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Up North News creator and editor Christina Laurie. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins the show to discuss the NCAA tournament. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. As a deportation court fight plays out between the Trump administration and the ACLU, CBS's Camilo Montoya-Galvez says some question how U.S. immigration officials are making a gang affiliation determination.
Advocates say that is a slippery slope, and they are concerned that due process here is being violated and that people are being removed solely because of tattoos or mere speculation.
President Trump is to speak about Ukraine with Russia's president tomorrow, CBS's Holly Williams.
That follows a U.S. proposal for a 30-day ceasefire, already supported by Ukraine, and a visit last week by Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, to Russia.
The government-owned and operated news organization, Voice of America, has been dismantled by the Trump administration. Voice of America director Michael Abramowitz says of the journalists at VOA,
they are people who have fought bravely for freedom and for a free press in their own countries. And now they want to do it here in the United States.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
James here, host